Insight on Business, the NewsHour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company. Learn how to grow your small business or nonprofit by outsourcing your HR and payroll functions. OasisAHR.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the NewsHour. We're going to bring you a conversation about media. And particularly, we're going to be talking with Douglas Burns. Now, Doug is the co-owner and vice president of the Carroll Times-Herald in Carroll, Iowa. It's in northwest Iowa, the 4th Congressional District, as a matter of fact. And we're going to talk a little bit about media, newspapers, local papers, and then there is this amazing human interest story and a relationship between Iowa and New York that you have to hear. Doug, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful to have you with us.
Michael, it's terrific to talk to you, and it's always good to see you in person. We tend to end up at a lot of the same events together in the Des Moines area, don't we?
Yeah, there's a lot of media events and things where, you know, because I'm in this business and you are in this business, we tend to understand how critical it is that the news gets to people. And what in many different formats now, and you're very familiar with that. You have a brick-and-mortar building, and you have a newspaper that's been around for decades and decades. Tell us a little bit about the challenges of a local news outlet in a place like Carroll, Iowa. How many people in Carroll?
We have a population of about 10,000, yeah. And the census takers are out right now. I would imagine will be, somewhere in that neighborhood, once the numbers are final. So in terms of some of the challenges that we face, it's a rural community. So, our retail right now, because of COVID-19, has been battered somewhat. Fortunately, some of our foundational large employers are doing okay. We have American Home Shield here, which is in the home warranty business, and they within 8 days were able to move about 500 people from their call center and their main headquarters here in Carroll to home working environments. And their business has actually done pretty well. But on the other end of the spectrum, we're the home of Windstar Lines, which is one of the top 20 motor coach companies in the United States. And they've lost about 97% of their business. So I know the people that run both organizations, they're both run by really capable people. But I think the COVID-19 is showing the country and really the world that, caprice and luck are really at play. And it's not just about hard work and who's successful and who has the great business plan. The fact that Windstar is challenged right now, and Hot Spring Spa is flourishing. I know the owners of both, and they're both good business people, but it really has, a lot to do with just being on the wrong side of this pandemic.
Sure. And we do the market report every single day, and we're watching the dichotomy between what happens on Wall Street and what happens on Main Street. And it is quite shocking. I mean, yesterday, or just this week, we saw the Dow eclipse 500 points in one day, and it's kind of staggering a bit today. But how all that works between what's going on with the exuberance of opening up businesses and then the reality of how tough it is to get these businesses back, but more importantly, how difficult it's going to be to get consumers back out and buying. So it is just... A different era for all of us. Let me ask about, is Farner Bakken still headquartered in Carroll?
It is, but it's no longer owned locally. It is owned by a California-based company named Cormark, and they do have a lease on the Farner Bakken building, and Farner Bakken, like the branding locally, is still Farner Bakken, but it's, the family that the Farner and Norgard families that owned it, sold a few years ago, and but it's still functioning. It's still a big part of our local economy, and obviously it fit into Core-Mark's, North American strategy to have a location here. So it's a beautiful building. It I remember is. Touring it when it first opened and just being amazed that Carroll, Iowa would have a state-of-the-art, distribution and delivery warehouse system like that. It was they didn't let a lot of outsiders into to tour it, because they didn't want to, reveal proprietary information. Right. But I just have to remember I just remember being blown away by the conveyor belt system and the packaging and delivery system. I'll never forget that.
I was there at the same time. And
yeah, okay. We probably even talked.
Yeah, probably. And the Bakkens, good friends of mine for years, and was invited to that adventure. And it was at that time, it was the most technologically advanced distribution program I'd ever seen before, and it was quite interesting.
Bob Bakken is my brother's father-in-law.
Right, so, get out of here.
Yeah, so pretty. I'm pretty familiar with that business. Is one that we've always been. We were familiar with when it was locally owned. Now that it's owned, outside of Carroll, obviously key decisions are made elsewhere. But we think there's a good talented workforce here locally, sure. And obviously Carroll fit into the strategy. So we have every expectation and hope that Farner Bakken will be part of the Carroll commercial and business landscape for quite a while.
It is a small world in the state of Iowa, isn't it?
Yeah. Once when I was in a small town 30 miles north of here, and I made a critical observation about a city official in a small town 30 miles south of here, just in a private conversation when I was reporting a story. And it turns out that the person I was talking about was the brother-in-law of the source I was with. So,
well,
you learn to be very careful before you criticize anybody about anything because of those, there's that 6 degrees of Bacon, right, where you should be able to get from one movie to another with Kevin Bacon within six people. Around here,
it's
really
much less.
2 degrees of separation.
Yeah. It is much less. Our guest is Douglas Burns, ladies and gentlemen. He's the co-owner and vice president of news for the Carroll Times-Herald. I want to get into this human interest story because you had sent it to me the other day, and it's about a connection. We were just talking about connections, people that we know here in Iowa, but that transcends to other parts of the country with you. And this is a story about a commissioner for the Consumer Protection Safety Commission, and his name is Elliot Kay. Tell us the Elliot Kay story. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to this because it really is quite remarkable.
Well, I'm from rural Iowa, as we established early on in the interview. So I, had the opportunity to go to Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. And one of the first people I encountered there is a lifelong friend, Elliot Kay, who's from Long Island, New York, spent a lot of time in the city as well. His parents were divorced, so he spent some time in New York City and some on Long Island. And we were journalism majors together and did a lot of things at Northwestern. And we both ended up in Washington, D.C. He had a very estimable career on Capitol Hill, working for three members of Congress. And then he ended up at the Consumer Product Safety Commission and was appointed by President Obama to be a commissioner. And whenever we were together, if we walked into a store or, we're checking something, out online, he would point out different products and how faults in those projects were or products were dangerous, particularly to kids. I can remember, descriptions of batteries that weren't packaged properly, some pretty harrowing stories that, he would review as a commissioner about like blinds, that window blinds that have those stringy strand things in them. And, kids that are sort of wall climbing and rambunctious can get themselves into those and literally hang themselves, asphyxiate themselves. And there's just all manner and variety of ways that horrible things can happen with, you know, dressers that can fall over on kids, or, you know, certainly ATVs or any number of products. And, you know, we should be able to go out and have a simple, safe purchase just be that simple and safe, but oftentimes it's not. Elliot is the person that's out there, you know, day to day thinking about these things and, you know, challenging companies, challenging products before Senate committees. But I think more importantly, behind the scenes, trying to work with companies to voluntarily get them to improve their packaging, to, you know, make other adjustments on products, or even voluntarily, you know, abandon a certain line and improve it. So, that there aren't people getting, you know, injured in, you know, a running baby carriage or something like that. So
and it does, Douglas, and it does.
I've admired his career for years.
It does set us apart from other nations in the fact that we have an entity in the federal government that's attempting to keep citizenry safe from their own consumables. And that is important, and there are just tons of things that the Consumer Products Safety Commission has found, and then, as you say, had companies adjust how they manufacture or distribute.
Well, I think the important thing to note here, too, Michael, is that you know, if somebody has a you know, wants to buy a, you know, speedy car, or they want to be a gun owner, or they want to eat, you know, fatty foods, or, you know, they want to do other things that involve, you know, a risk to their health or a risk to their safety. Those are sort of known risks. Like, you know, that if you go out and eat McDonald's every day and drink, you know, three Pepsis a day, it's probably not that great for your health. And you know, if you smoke, it's not great for your health. And you know, if you have a handgun at home, that you're going to need to keep it, you know, stored safely and need to educate your family about it. But when you go out and you buy blinds, or you go out and you buy a laundry detergent, or you go out and you buy a dresser, or you go out and just buy, you know, a day-to-day product, you're thinking about how, you know, the ornamentation of it in your house. You're thinking about the, you know, utility of it, how it functions. So what Elliot really does is try to go out and ferret out and scout out and regulate sort of the hidden risks that none of us would expect. When I look at window blinds, I don't look at them as potentially a death trap for a kid, and I don't think most people do. It's his job to make sure that that, you know, things that we wouldn't expect kill us don't.
Right. Well, so this is an interesting story about how a rural Iowa guy and a guy from the city of New York gets together at Northwestern University, and they continue a long-standing friendship across miles and miles and miles. And both of you are involved in what I would say are critical professions. And some folks might be going, okay, so what's the point? What the hell are these guys talking about? They're talking about rural newspapers and media and the Consumer Safety Commission and a guy from New York and friendship. But there's an underlying story here, isn't there?
Yes. I remember being at Elliot's mother's funeral 25 years ago. Mm. She had some kidney issues, and unfortunately, he has the same. So it's a tragic irony that one of the nation's top consumer product safety advocates, Elliot Kay, I'd argue that he is the nation's top consumer product safety advocate. And I've had several people reach out and say that I'm right in that assessment, that here's somebody who spends, you know, the majority of his professional career going out and making sure that we're safe and that products, faulty products, don't hurt us. And then there's this, again, tragic irony that he finds out that like within his body, you know, he has a fault,
right,
and a fatal fault that needs to be corrected. So the story that you read, the column that I wrote, you know, many of his friends and family are going through a protocol of seeing if they're able to donate, but not all people can donate. So what we're doing, you know, particularly as public spiritedness is really high. And by we, I mean, you know, myself and his friends, we're going out and casting a wide net and just letting people know that here's somebody who's given back a great deal in public service, somebody who's literally saved lives. Now his life is at risk and he needs a kidney donor. And he's working with Georgetown University, which first rate, highly prestigious medical institution. And people can, you know, go to their website and, you know, if they want to get involved in seeing if they are, you know, a potential donor, they can do that. And so we're just out encouraging people to take a look at that and take a look at the, you know, measure this man's life. This is somebody who's saved other lives and now needs somebody to step forward. And, you know, donating in a kidney isn't nothing, but it's something you can, you know, recover from and be out of the hospital in a few days and then know for the rest of your life that you saved another person's life.
Our guest is Doug Burns, ladies and gentlemen. He is with the Carroll Times-Herald. He's the co-owner and vice president of news, and we're talking about a fellow by the name of Elliot Kay, who is in desperate need of a kidney transplant. And when we talk about casting a wide net, that's exactly what we're doing here. And this is the kind of story, I think, based on everything else that's going on, with from civil unrest to a pandemic to economic inequality and all the kinds of things that we're faced right now. And I said to you, I believe in an email when I read this story, this is exactly the kind of story that we need to share, because this is not a doom and gloom. This is a hopeful story, and we will have links to Georgetown University's Medical Center up on the radio blog so that people can learn more about this case. So how is Elliot today? Have you had the opportunity to visit?
Yeah, we did, actually. We talked about some unrelated topics. He'd read some other stories that I'd written, and so we just chatted about that, and we talked a few times earlier this week. So his, you know, he's first and foremost, like a lot of fathers, he's a father, and he has two really bright young sons, and Ethan and Noah. And Noah's a really talented baseball player at the kind of a rising freshman, as they would say, making the transition from, you know, middle school, junior high to high school. And so it's always interesting to hear about, you know, how he's doing. Obviously he's not with COVID-19. There's a, you know, just not a lot of activity,
right,
for a lot of people. So some of the things we really enjoy talking about have been limited because his kids just can't be as active as they were.
Sure. And that's the way it has been with so many of us. Our guest has been Doug Burns, ladies and gentlemen, the co-owner and vice president of news for the Carroll Times-Herald. We started out talking about the challenges of media, and then this really, I think, important look at friendship across miles and miles and miles, and how people can get involved with somebody else's life and what meaning that has for all the people involved. And this story about Elliot Kay, his two boys, and his wife certainly did resonate, I think, with me. And I believe it probably will resonate, Doug, with many others. So thank you for spending some time on this. We will have to have you back because I really want to dig into the world of small newspapers and news gathering facilities. How long has the Carroll Times-Herald been in existence?
So it's been in my family for 91 years.
Wow.
And then precursors, you know, to, you know, the Carroll Times-Herald, you know, would go back into the 19th century.
Right. Yeah. And thanks for all
you do, Michael. I really appreciate how you reach out beyond the Des Moines metro area and try to find stories in rural areas. I like the fact that you take a statewide look, and that if something's happening in Creston or Carroll or Clinton or Clarinda, that you care just as much about that as you do, you know, whether it's happening, you know, as you do with, as if it's happening in the Des Moines suburb of Clive or, you know, your neck of the woods.
Well, we are all so connected, and we proved that connection point when we were talking about people that we know in common. And I had, you know, no idea about the relationship between you and many of my other friends. And so we are all connected. And this is just one of those extra connection points that goes across our borders and really into, I believe, our hearts. Doug, thanks so very much for doing this.
Appreciate it, Michael. Take care.
Once again, that was our friend Doug Burns, who happens to be the co-owner and vice president of news for the Carroll Times-Herald, a small newspaper in Northwest Iowa. We've talked a little bit about the plight of media in small towns. We'll have Doug back to talk more about that. But the real basis of all of this was the story about Elliot Kay. And we do have links to the Georgetown University Transplant Center up on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today's edition of the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us associated with this daily project, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Doug Burns, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.